The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Good morning. 770-5633 to join in. It is Finding Your Phone Friday, 11 minutes after 6. Rick Manning joins me from Americans for Limited Government in about 20 minutes to the D.C. Swamp Update. Everything Kamala. And we'll do that and a bunch more. And I'd also like to ask Rick, who's actually running the Trump campaign, because I still do not understand why the Don ended up going to that Black News Journalists Association. It's like I really don't like it when I see campaigns that are doing unforced errors, in my opinion. I know there's a lot of people on the right that said, yeah, he owned them. It's like, no, it's stupid. I'm sorry. I just think it was a stupid move overall. And it's a year in which we can't afford stupid moves and allow the Kamalas of the world to make stupid moves on their own. And that's fine. All right. But I'll ask Rick about that and various other things. Mr. Outdoors joins me for the Outdoor Fire Fishing Report. We'll get that. And by the way, we do have a possibility of thunderstorms this afternoon. And it's a slight chance, but still there today, tomorrow, over the weekend, too, along with the potential for lots of heat and fire smoke. But hopefully, if we get some thunderstorm activity, it's wet and not dry lightning. But we'll talk with Greg about that and see what he has to say. Jackson County Commissioner Colleen Roberts is going to join me. I forget if she's coming in studio or if I'm going to get her on the phone. Maybe just on the phone, I think, today. But it appears that the county commission, they talked about tabling the move for a Jackson County jail, not the move for the jail, but at least to refer something to the voters at this time after a survey. I want to kind of talk about that process and where are we headed? Because it's much like fire districts in Josephine County. And, you know, everybody wants the fire district, and just about everybody would like a jail, a newer jail, bigger jail in Jackson County to be able to handle the increase of dirt bagginess of Southern Oregon. Under Democratic rule from the state. And anyway, you know where I'm going on this. But nobody wants to pay the big cost. And what else could be done about that? Are there any other options being discussed? Unfortunately, in 1980, when the jail was opened, it was pretty much obsolete the day it opened. So for 43 years, Jackson County's been working with hard to operate. When I say hard to operate, needing a lot more labor to guard the same number of prisoners that you'd be able to have many more people guarded by the same kind of workforce today. But anyway, it's not just paying for a jail, but also paying for the operating costs. And things are a little bit different today in Southern Oregon and Jackson County than they were in 1980, wouldn't you think?
Sure.
Okay. Financial news. Oh, I almost forgot. Michael Williams, the school board member, 549C. Remember, talked with him last week about there seems to be this this big cover up about the school resource officer, Josh Doney, reassigned to other duties within Medford Police. And it appears that and Michael believes, and I have no reason to doubt him, that there's just been political pressure brought in there because Josh Doney, the SRO, was just talking about uncomfortable truths about school safety. In other words, stupid stuff being done by Medford 549C. And apparently the long knives came out for Josh Doney, and so you're just going to go back into this. We're going to get you another SRO who's not going to talk to school board members, because we know that school board members are elected by we the people to just be ignorant of everything going on and just take the swill that the administration may pour down their gullet. Ah, Jay, don't believe your own eyes. Don't believe the SRO. Believe me. Believe me, the highly paid employee that you are supervising. I think it's kind of, I know I may be going off the rails a little bit on that, but this is essentially, I think, what's been going on over at Medford 549C. I also think it's restorative justice. Nobody wants to admit that that baby is ugly, but they better start talking about it. Restorative justice, non-punishment, punishment. But anyway, Michael text messaged me yesterday, and he said, well, the attacks on me are beginning. I'm kind of wondering what those attacks are. So I invited him on. Hopefully, he said he'd be willing to do that. He's trying to step carefully, too, because there are a lot of rice bowls and a lot of agendas in play. And it is astounding how stupid the system really wants the school board members to behave. And this is the Oregon School Board Association. I noticed that there was a statement in that Rogue Valley Times in which the board chair was saying, well, you know, we were all sent to the Oregon School Board Association, and in our training, we're just not supposed to get that involved in the schools. Just so happens that Julie Niles Fry, a former colleague of mine here at the radio station, was a former member in the Rogue River School Board, and she made a mention on my Facebook page that, the Oregon School Board Association is there to make sure that your school board really isn't paying that much attention or just thinking, there's nothing I can do. We really can't go into the classrooms, and we can't talk to people, and you talk to teachers, then you got problems with the union and all this other stuff. I've had it up to here with this, you know? We're number 45, and we're always worried about the turf wars here. Well, it appears that Michael Williams is one of those school board members that's saying, wait a minute, I was elected to go on the school board, and that means I'm supposed to be, you know, learning and paying attention to what's going on in the school and making sure we have good policies. In other words, he's unwelcome. I think that's what's going on. I think he's unwelcome. And so the knives are out for him. I don't know exactly to what extent. I didn't get a chance to talk with him yesterday afternoon, but we'll talk with him this morning after 8 o'clock. We'll see about that. All right. Jobs report out this morning. Pretty disappointing. Was 179,000 in June. Dropped to 114,000. Markets are looking to tank a bit today. I think Dow Futures down around 500 points. So this is something we'll have to keep an eye on. We'll talk about that job report with Rick Manning from Americans for Limited Government. He used to work in the Labor Department. I think it was the second Bush administration. And he's kind of all over this sort of stuff. He's one of those policy wonks that can crunch these numbers and then say, all right, yeah, this is what everybody's reporting. Here's what it actually means. You know, he gets that. So we'll kick that around with him also. In all the weird news that's been going on, and weird is now the... maybe the left is backing away from that, calling everybody on the right weird. You know, J.D. Vance weird, Donald Trump weird, you know, creepy Republican weird, you know, that kind of thing. But I have a piece of good news. This is a piece of national good news and didn't get a lot of play, but I think it's worth you hearing this morning. With all of the challenges that we've had in the state of Oregon, being able to look at election ballots. Because remember the lawsuit that we have in the state of Oregon that, Secretary of State candidate Dennis Linthicum, of course, filed that against Jackson County and all the other counties here, for that matter. State Senator Kim Thatcher was also involved in this one. And the rules coming down from the Secretary of State's office were that, you have to make sure you can't look at, anybody can't look at any ballots until, you spend $1 million in Jackson County. Maybe, and that there's some other costs involved in this, too. No one's qualified to look at the ballots until someone actually spends close to $1 million in Jackson County, for example, to be able to look at them, because someone may have written their name on the ballot. And, well, gosh, you have to have this all anonymous, you know, the precious sacred vote. And, of course, having to do that kind of cost to see these records means that no one will ever look at them unless you're really wealthy. It used to be you had a few hundred bucks, maybe a few thousand, maybe at best or worst, really, and you'd get copies of the scans of the ballots that were going through so that you could actually do an election audit after the fact. Any private group, parties could do it. Everybody could take a look and see what was going on and where Hinky might have come in. Well, Oregon has trouble with this right now. I don't know how we're going to be able to fix that other than getting Dennis Linthicum in there, which, as we've talked about before, is a very high lift. But in the state of Pennsylvania, which, by the way, is a battleground state, Democrats need this very badly. That's why it's rumored that Josh Shapiro is going to be the vice presidential pick of the Kamala. But a Pennsylvania court yesterday ruled that images of absentee or mail-in ballots, period, are public records. No BS. No big deal to get a look at this stuff. These are ballots. These are public records. All of this baloney about privacy issues. Nope. Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania says a lower court erred in holding that images of absentee and mail-in ballots were shielded from public disclosure under the election code, which says certain election materials are available to the public except the content of ballot boxes and voting machines and records of assisted voters. In its opinion, the court said the Common Pleas Court failed to recognize that other provisions in the state's election code designate images of absentee and mail-in ballots as public records. Now, in Oregon, all of our election records are mail-in ballots. It's not that this court holds sway over Oregon. You know, the Pennsylvania ruling doesn't affect our court. But it is starting to build a record of precedent in which this idea that we the people aren't qualified to examine the ballots of our own elections, of our own sacred democracy with a little, you know, Democratic registered trademark symbol next to it. Maybe this is starting to be shot down and more common sense is coming into it. So I thought that was a piece of good news. I wasn't getting a lot of reporting, but I wanted to make sure you knew about it. At least in Pennsylvania, they're breaking down that wall between the people and being able to examine and audit themselves, their elections, not having to depend on the state to investigate its own stinky state stuff, you know, that thing. Like Oregon does, right? It's 22 minutes after 6. This is the Bill Myers Show, and you're on KMED and 99.3 KBXG.
If you're searching for a property with a well, don't make a decision without a well flow test from Siskiyou Pump Service. Well flow testing is necessary in assessing the performance and reliability of the system. Real estate lenders often require flow validation to ensure it meets their criteria. Siskiyou Pump Service, with over a half century of dedicated service in Southern Oregon, are your go-to experts for a comprehensive well flow test that provides crucial insights into capacity, yield, and functionality. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
George Strait's Oceanfront Property in 1987 was the first album to debut at number one on the country charts. Whether you're Arizona Oceanside or further inland, Millette Construction reminds you that if you have sloping floors and cracks in walls, your ground is likely shifting, causing foundation issues. Millette will fix your foundation, level your house, and solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Visit MilletteConstruction.com for a free estimate. CCB number 32787.
Have you ever disliked someone so much you didn't even want to look at them? Well, when that someone is you and you're avoiding the mirror because of your weight, life isn't fun. Or when you tell the person taking pictures, stop it! Many have felt the same frustration and shame, and it all stems from one thing, cravings. Fries, donuts, chips, soda, chocolate. Sometimes the urge feels impossible to ignore, but you can. In order to truly drop the pounds, first conquer the crave with the Plan Z diet. Our diet is different because our patented ZR50 Crave Control Spray helps control your urges. Then our real food diet, education support, and our no exercise rule get and keep you on track. Our dieters lose an average of 31 pounds in 50 days, safely on Plan Z. They also begin to feel more than just okay, and they like who they see in the mirror again. Take this small first step toward big weight loss. Visit PlanZDiet.com today to learn more. Together, we can conquer the crave. PlanZDiet.com.
Hi, I'm Lamont from Orleans, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
624, power outages. Now, I'm getting to the point where every morning I'm going to start checking Pacific Power. Given that we have to deal with our sustainable development, chaotic and intermittent power supply now. Thank you, Democrats. Yeah, I know I'm being very sarcastic, but I can't help it. Just thank you. Thank you for helping save the climate. Anyway, we have one big power outage here in South. Yeah, it's not a big power outage, but once again, where do you think it might be? Would it be Medford? Nah. Central Point? Nah. Power's still on there. Talent? Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. About 60 customers are having their power out, and crews have been notified. Damaged equipment is what they claim it is. So I don't know, either a line down or a transformer blew out. You know, who knows what's going on there. But that's the latest in Pacific Power Power Watch. You know, we always have, KDRV has no news watch and fire watch and things like that. Now we have to have a new one now, Power Watch, every day. It's going to be an everyday thing. I think I'm just going to start putting it in my browser so that when I automatically open up Firefox, boom, you know, there it is. All right. How about some business news? Do we have any business? Oh, yeah, we can certainly talk about some business news. Let's do that right now from south of our border.
In the late great Gold Standard. state, it's getting hard to negotiate. When you once slipped from a grim fate in the late great Golden State.
One of my favorite Californians, Dwight Yoakam, the late great Golden State. Now, it does appear that it is continuing to leak big businesses. Of course, Tesla left. You know that. They're going away. And now Chevron, U.S. oil and gas giant Chevron, announced today it's going to relocate corporate headquarters from its longtime location in San Ramon, California, to Houston, Texas. In a release, the company said Chairman and CEO Mike Wirth and Vice Chairman Mark Nelson will relocate to Houston by the end of this year, remaining headquarters employees to make a gradual migration over the next 5 years. And employees who support the company's remaining California operations will remain in San Ramon. Currently, Chevron has about 2,000 in California, 2,000 employees, 7,000 in various Texas locations. And when it comes right down to it, why would you want to be in California? Why would you want to locate your oil and gas industry in California when, A, your government there just hates you and is doing everything to put you out of business? And that's essentially what happened. Now, latest stock reports on Chevron, not so good. Profit wasn't so good. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe some of the profit not being so good is having to fight the expenses of the state regulatory apparatchiks. All right, there we go. Not to be outdone, Oregon's Intel is going to be cutting 15,000 jobs, not in California, but here. Slashing costs, sales disappoint. 15,000 jobs are going away across the entire company, not just in Oregon. And biggest job cuts Intel has ever announced, wiping out 15% of all the positions. And Intel telling employees it'll start offering early retirement incentives, in buyouts to employees next week. Oh, you know what that means. Okay, let's round up the Gen Xers and the baby boomers who actually know how to run things, and let's buy them out. We're going to find the people who actually know how things work and actually have a work ethic, and we're going to get rid of them. Oh, boy. I could be wrong. I've never worked at Intel, but it does seem we have to get rid of those old people. Those old people are, you know, costing a lot of money, but they actually know how to run that. They know which red button to push. Shut up. They're too expensive. Everybody knows that's how this works, okay? Speaking of big money and lots of weird stuff, crypto executive calls Democratic Party of Oregon's false report of his $500,000 donation hilarious. This is in Oregon Live. Betsy Hammond did a great story this morning. A since-disgraced 20-something cryptocurrency executive who gave the Dems its largest contribution in party history told investigators he found it hilariously funny that party officials reported falsely that the money he gave them came from the bank he used to transmit the donation. This according to records obtained by the Oregonian. Nishad Singh, who is then a high-flying executive of crypto firm FTX, remember crypto firm, that one, right? And now a convicted felon. Of course, you're affiliated with Democrats, so it's not surprising. But he was swept up in that larger client defrauding crime of his boss, Sam Bankman-Fried. But he donated $500,000 on the advice of an FTX official he barely knew. This is what he told investigators at the Oregon Department of Justice. Mark Wetchin, who spearheaded the FTX operations in Washington, D.C., telling Singh that giving big to the Oregon Democratic Party would really help FTX as a whole. Because, you know, when you're running a corrupt job and a corrupt business model, you need to get a bunch of corrupt Democrat Party members in the Oregon government on your side. That's helping you in the regulatory issues, kind of like what was hurting Chevron, right? Because they probably didn't bribe the right people. I don't know. You probably couldn't bribe California government enough to be treated well there if you're in oil and gas. But all crypto, man, they were all over it. The Dems ultimately had to give that back. And apparently they're also fined because they misnamed, kind of like misgendering the donation and who and where it came from in the OreStar account, that kind of thing. $15,000 fine or something like that. So not only do you have to give back the $500,000, but pay a fine on top of that. All right. And how are you doing this morning? I'm about to get on the horn here with Rick Manning, president of Americans for Limited Government. We'll talk some politics and a whole bunch more of the jobs report, all here on KMED and 99.3 KBXG with the Bill Myers Show.
Joel here with another Butler money-saving truck deal. Get $4,300 in Ford rebate, get another $1,000 in Ford trade assistance cash, plus $900 in Ford finance cash, and I'll tack on a $3,800 Butler Ford discount for a total savings of $10,000 off a 2024 Ford F-150 4x4 crew cab. Or buy a new 2024 Ford Bronco Sport for less than $27,000 when you have a qualifying competitor SUV. Also, I've got low interest rates, well, on everything. Edges, Escapes, certified pre-owned Explorers, Broncos, you name it. Butler says yes to $10,000 off on trucks. Butler says yes to saving thousands on Ford Broncos. Butler says yes to low interest rates. And Butler says yes for more for your trade. Butler Ford and Truck Center, rated number one Ford store in Oregon by Google. Just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where we've got the selection you desire and the guest experience you require.
36 monthly lease payments at 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade due at signing, excluding tax, license, saddle, and 250 dealer down fee with vehicle count cost of $42,884. 72 monthly payments of $15,15 per thousand finance. All financing on approved credit.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. As wildfires ravage the state, the U.S. Forest Service is carefully watching the weather conditions for the weekend, with lightning expected in southern Oregon tomorrow, expanding Sunday into almost all of central and eastern Oregon. The local post office is having a rally at the Vogel Plaza in Medford Saturday morning to protect Oregon's vote-by-mail deliveries. It's a pushback on Postmaster General Louis DeJoy's ironically named Delivering for America plan, which costs more and has caused major delays in prescription and ballot deliveries. Well, Oregon is number two, the second most expensive state to own a car. Money Geek looked into gas prices, annual toll and fee costs, annual maintenance costs, and auto insurance prices for each state. And what they discovered, based on those factors, Maryland was the most expensive state to own a car, followed closely by number two, Oregon. I'm Bill London, KMED News.
Drake's Paint and Supply, your only locally owned paint store, is now open in South Medford. The South Medford store offers the same top quality Benjamin Moore paint and stain and all the equipment and supplies the North Medford and Grants Pass stores offer, with the legacy of service and value Drake's is known for. Drake's Paint, your local Benjamin Moore dealer, with three Rogue Valley locations to serve you in North Medford on North Pacific Highway, Grants Pass in the Parkway Village, and now in South Medford between Central and Riverside, just north of where the two combine.
If you really want to enjoy your open-air spaces, talk to American Industrial Door. They're an authorized dealer for Tira Screen Systems. From porches, patios, and gazebos to restaurant seating areas to warehouses, these custom-made motorized screens and vinyl panels are a permanent solution to keep pest, wind, and rain out so you can enjoy outdoor environments in peace. Go see all the possibilities Tira Screen Systems have to offer at American Industrial Door, with showrooms on Union Avenue in Grants Pass and Crater Lake Avenue north of Vilas Road.
At Skechers, we put the S in comfort.
Wait. Skechers put the S in comfort?
Yes. Comfort you have to feel to believe. Skechers, we put the S in comfort.
Let me try. Okay, I'm just stepping in and... Oh, wow. Skechers put the S in comfort.
Duh. We told you.
Find Skechers slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Is your business or personal tax return under IRS audit? Tell the IRS First Response Resolution has got it. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point, your local tax resolution experts. Visit firstresponseirs.com and talk to Zach in Eagle Point. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
And it is 6:35.
This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights because I don't want to see.
Rick Manning, that is his theme. Mama told me not to come to Washington, D.C., but yet he went to Washington, D.C. anyway. Mama keeps warning him, but he keeps coming back for more. Rick Manning is president of Americans for Limited Government, DailyTorch.com. Rick, how the heck are you this morning, my friend?
You know, I'm doing well. I'm sitting in a fast food parking lot. It's going to grow to 100 pretty rapidly here, and... All in all, the breeze coming through the windows feels pretty good.
100 degrees in the swamp today?
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be near there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, because it's going to be like 102 today, but 102 here. Of course, we get the fire smoke. You don't have the fire smoke. So it's going to be 102 today, but at about 10% humidity, you'll be close to 100 at about 90% humidity, which is a little bit different, in my opinion.
Yeah, it gets a mite warm, but the fact of the matter is, if you live back here long enough, you eventually realize, you know, it's just sweat and people pay a lot of money to sit in a sauna. So
there you go. Hey, Rick, a quick touch. I know you didn't really get the government job numbers here this morning,
right,
but we're looking at it was 179,000 jobs created in June, and today 114,000 for July. And the markets are not real happy about this. They're starting to tank and go down. I mean, the futures are down 500 points. They've already lost 506. It's already lost 506 points. That's on the Dow Watch this morning, okay?
Well, I guess I'm going to be on the air with you again next year.
What was that now? I'm sorry?
I guess I'm going to be on the air with you again next year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
you know,
certainly.
My retirement plan is being eaten alive, but I know a lot of people have that challenge.
Yeah, well, most of my stuff, I don't have a lot of stocks at this point because, you know, you get divorced a few times. It's like you take $250,000 and you set it on fire in the parking lot. You know, that's what you do.
I apologize for that.
Yeah, but thank you for cheering me up. I really appreciate that.
I'm fortunate in that regard. I've just finished 42 straight years with the same woman.
So, all right. I mean, but anyway, unemployment 4.1 to 4.3. You know, the thing is, I guess things are looking like they're rolling over just in time for a big time election season. Is that it or not?
Well, it's for the last year, the employment numbers have slowly kind of gone the wrong way in terms of full employment, and it's just beginning to accelerate a little bit. It doesn't really start accelerating until people begin to be worried about the economy, and so a number that has both political and practical implications is something called the Michigan Consumer Confidence Survey. And the reason that matters is if consumers are confident, they spend money. And consumer spending makes up a huge amount of our overall economy in terms of driving it. So it is and if they aren't confident, they claw back. They don't spend as much money. They're paying down credit cards and the like. And I can't say they're paying down credit cards. I just know that they are less confident, and consumer spending seems to be abating, which means hiring is abating.
And this also probably means that less willingness to go into debt unless you absolutely have to on something, right?
That's exactly right. So you're not going to take on a lot of long-term debt. And the effect of the interest rates being higher, the cost of housing being up effectively about 50% over the last 3 years, makes it so people are less mobile. They're less willing to move out of their house and buy a bigger one or buy a different one because they want to give up the 3% interest rate. So it has a whole impact on the entire kind of the lifeblood of the economy, consumer spending, and really the housing market as a whole, which is most people's biggest expenditure.
Now, I'm already starting to see stories that are saying that Jerome Powell, I mean, usually this is the Federal Reserve chief normally does the same thing every time, starts raising interest rates too late and also waits way too long to start cutting. That's generally how it has worked. Would that be a fair assessment when you look back at the history of the Federal Reserve?
They tend to be reactive to once the bet and don't want to make changes until they're sure the changes are necessary. So, yes, they tend to be behind the curve a little bit.
Okay. So, we're a little bit over 5% right now for that funds rate or whatever it is. I'm no expert on the Fed, but I just read the headlines here. Is it the real issue that Jerome Powell may have to cut the interest rates is because the interest costs on United States government debt is exploding? And we're just reading that we're at the point now where a huge percentage of the taxes that we're paying each year are not going to actually pay for anything, but just to pay interest.
No, that's absolutely true. It's the days of having short-term bonds for 1.5%, long-term bonds, paying 2.5% for our federal debt, are you know, really maybe gone forever. And a lot of our, and we, here's how the debt works. We roll over about $7.5 to $9 trillion of debt every year. Those are bonds coming due, and then, you know, having to go out and buy new bonds. Okay. So we, a bond comes, you know, goes to fruition. It's a 2-year bond. The 2 years are up. So they reissue another 2-year bond in its place. The first 2-year bond, let's say it was, we were paying 1.5%, 2% in interest. If the second 2-year bond, we're paying 3.5% interest, it means we've essentially, on the interest cost, we've essentially doubled our interest cost for that bond. So it is a, and that's how, you know, and essentially if you don't raise the rate, people won't buy the bond. So because it's an investment, so you have to put a rate out there that is competitive. We have a different and more, and another actor in this, and that when Saudi Arabia took a, decided that we were no longer going to be the petrodollar, they were going to take, buy, sell dollars or sell petroleum with a lot of different currencies besides just the dollar, the international demand for dollars is impacted, which means there's less of a demand to buy treasuries on the marketplace, which means less demand means you have to offer a higher interest rate to make them something that's desirable.
Are we ever at any risk? I'm sorry, Rick. Do we ever have any risk of not? I think the term is not having a bid for treasuries. You know, are we ever in that situation?
No, because it's a market. It's a market where you can offer it at X, and if people don't want to buy it at X, mm-hmm. I can offer treasuries at zero. If nobody wants to buy them at zero, then I have to add to it, and so it's just a market like anything else. There is a market for treasuries at a certain price, and right now that price is pretty low in terms of when you look at our overall debt and our rating with Moody's and others. We get off at a pretty low price because the world's basic idea is if the U.S. dollar fails, we get a lot more problems than our interest payments on the debt. So it's a so we do get a premium for being the biggest economy in the world. We get a premium for being the most reliable currency in the world.
And reliable also, I guess, means liquid and easily tradable, right?
It means that you're not going to get – this isn't going to turn out to be Confederate money, okay? Even though Granny Clampett liked it, nobody would take that for a gallon of gas. So it was a so although it may become that, it isn't that now. The so ultimately, yes, our interest rates are likely to be higher that we're having to pay. The fact we're continuing to crank out $1.8 to $2 trillion in a new debt every single year, and nobody seems to care about that. Nobody seems to want to do anything about that. That's a problem, and you know, it just means we have to print more treasuries, which means you know you have to have the commensurate demand to meet the how many we have in the supply. So we're just putting more treasuries into the market. But it has to, there's a whole other aspect to this that can't be lost. When you have the reason why interest rates were raised is because the Federal Reserve decided a long time ago that there was an arbitrary number, 2%, that was the desired interest rate increase on a year-to-year basis. And anything more than that did damage the economy. And if you went below 0%, for instance, that caused deflation, which did damage the economy. So they said, we want to be between 0 and 2%. We're at 3% now in terms of how much about the interest rate. And the Fed, if it capitulates, which it likely will, in terms of cutting interest rates, it will essentially be capitulating on the 2% inflation rate target. And saying, oh, we can get by on a 3% interest rate target. And that is a and that means essentially they're saying every single year there's gonna be a 3% tax on your money. That's what our goal will be, a 3% tax on your money, simply through your money becoming 3% worth less, have less worth. And so when you talk about the interest rate, you look at what the Fed's doing, it does have a significant impact on your pocketbook.
Sure.
Because if you're planning on, if the Fed is planning to have a 3% interest rate, if they said, okay, that's good enough, expect a 3-4% interest rate for the rest, you know, for until they change. And that means through another round of rate hikes. So that's the challenge. And there's only two ways you can affect money supply. Rate hikes, which dry up the money out of the economy, put money into the bank's hands and not necessarily into the people's hands, and cause less demand. And secondly, you know, balance your darn budget. Well, I don't see us balancing the budget any time in my lifetime, as much as I hate to say that. So consequently, you know, what do we have? We've got monetary policy that's running counter to our fiscal policy, which is budget deficits for as far as the eye can see, and bigger budget deficits.
And retirees pouring into the Social Security system.
And retirees pouring into the Social Security system, which, you know, and people don't want to hear this, and as somebody who is that age, it's hard for me to say, but there is a no, I'm just doing a radio interview. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Jeez.
Are you firing that person? Are you going to fire that person or not?
No, I'm just going to sit here.
Okay.
She apparently is the house monitor of where people park. Anyway, so there's a when you get down to it, the money, we have a challenge that we are spending about 70% of our money in our regular budget on costs that are fixed costs. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, interest payments on the debt are all mandatory costs. Unless you make the Congress doesn't deal with them. When they fight over the budget, they're fighting over the other 30%, 15% of which is defense. So just understand, interest payments on the debt, going back full circle, within 2 years will likely exceed our defense spending. It'll be our largest single, besides Social Security and Medicare, it'll be our largest single expenditure on our budget. And that's not going down.
I would dare say the American empire is going to have trouble projecting power with those kind of numbers. Hmm?
It definitely has an impact. Now, the people who are deficit apologists say it's really a matter of what the percentage is to your overall economy. And they take out Social Security and Medicare borrowing out of that. And so they're trying to assure people that it's still sustainable. The fact of the matter is, there's no politician in the world in America who's going to survive saying we're going to have a 50% cut in Social Security because we can't afford to pay it. And so if you try to do that, what you're going to get is mayhem. And you're going to lose your job. So that is so taking Social Security out of that debt equation is an economist trick that isn't actually dealing in the real world.
Well, a lot of the swamp right now is not dealing with the real world. That's why I talked with you about it, Rick. Rick Manning is president of Americans for Limited Government. All right. And there's no appetite for reigning and spending next year, no matter who's president, right? Would you agree with me on that? I don't see any constituency for slicing and dicing stuff up. Other than you.
I don't think you're going to get sufficient numbers of a majority in the House and the Senate on the Republican side to overcome the defense hawks who never seen a dollar they didn't want to spend on materiel, and the liberals who want to spend more money on everything else. So, you know, we have three parties in this country. We have the liberals who want to spend on social programs. We've got defense hawks who want to spend on defense programs. And then we got people who say we're spending too much. And there's not a majority in the Congress in either Senate or House. So there's not even a 25% in the Senate and House that say we're spending too much and we have to do something about it.
Yeah, and then everybody's making promises.
We're not gonna get there.
Yeah, and then everyone's making promises on the campaign trail. You know, you have, of course, the Democrats would like to get rid of the Trump tax cuts because, you know, that's what they just want to do. Then you have Don that says, well, I don't want to tax tips. And now he says he doesn't want to tax Social Security, which, frankly, I have to tell you, when you have a family member who has Social Security and you're working, you know, it just ends up being ridiculous, you know?
No, that's right. It's a and you have me. What I'm saying is Republicans want to lower corporate taxes again. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is keep corporate taxes at the same rate they are, but just put a $20 million deduction for the first $20 million in profits. And virtually every company, small company in America, every small mid-sized business in America will have a 0% tax rate.
Hey, there you go.
Which causes from a political and from a practical perspective, small and mid-sized businesses are hiring Americans. Multinationals are hiring people from all over the globe. If you want to stimulate growth, you want to have the right people win, have the people who are the local car dealer and the local, the local radio station, have them be the people who are the prime beneficiaries of tax cuts, not people who have a bevy of lawyers and accountants.
Well, yeah, not the Metas, not the Intels of the world, that kind of thing.
Because that amount would make zero. They'd still get the tax cut, but it would make zero difference on their bottom line.
Yeah, you got it. All right. Hey, Rick, let me ask a couple of questions about the political here, the two campaigns here. Of course, the Kamala reinvention is just kind of amazing. My concern is that in spite of the fact that logically you would look at her and say, what a dim bulb and very little accomplished, but you have a good percentage of the country that votes as if they're 12-year-olds. OK, and they just look at this. But then you have Dawn with unforced errors, the Dawn going to the black journalist thing. How dumb was that? It's one of the dumbest moves I think I've seen this week. And I see people on the right here, oh, he owned them. And it says, no, I just thought it was pretty stupid. But where are you coming from on that?
I think he should have gone to the black journalist. I just think he handled it poorly.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is he had Harris Faulkner on the stage with him. So there were three people leading the discussion. One of them was a friendly. It was one he could have knocked out of the park. But he didn't knock it out of the park by talking about broad issues that the black community has been impacted by in a positive way that he did. Talk about the growth in the lower 40% quintile of earners that occurred in his administration, real growth, and how that's not occurred under the Biden administration. So he had real positive things he could have talked about, okay? Real positive things. And instead, he went into attack mode, and he really didn't. Where things went off the rails the most is when he tried to attack Harris's ethnicity, and it's a meme joke that everywhere she goes, she changes who she is.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He can't say that. Sometimes Donald Trump does not know that he's going to let the 100 million people who will say things for him say it, and just because he sees it in a cartoon, he shouldn't repeat it. And and when he did that, he lost the whole audience. 30% of the audience were with him when he went in, and he lost every one of them. A lot of the small black newspapers, for instance, are very conservative. They post conservative op-eds all the time. The major black radio network here in the Washington, D.C. area is owned by a conservative woman, black woman. It is a, so we've got a, there's not a, he just, he actually just needs to sit down with some people before he does this and understand his audience. And whoever was telling him who his audience was, either he just flat decided he didn't listen, he knew better, or they should be fired.
And the thing is, he can't afford these kind of things. He can't afford a lot of these kind of events. And what I was thinking of is that when that ABC hack ended up asking him about the, was Kamala Harris a DEI hire, right? You remember that part, right? And then, and he says, I don't know. And he's kind of fumbling around there. When the obvious answer is like, listen, the person you need to talk to about this is President Biden, because President Biden said that he was going to get a vice president, and then maybe even have the day that he said the quote that the vice president is going to be a black and going to be a woman. That was the qualification. Ask him, that kind of thing. There could have been
and if he wanted to be funny, he could have said, and it just astonished me that out of all the the highly qualified, really strong black women, he came up with her.
Yeah.
That would have been, you know, at least you sit there and you go, you're getting a jab in at her, but you're saying, listen, this is, you know, that the truth is the truth and they can't erase it, although they try. And Joe Biden did choose her, had his three candidates.
And he made it specific that this was, that it had to be a woman, had to be black. Right. Right? That was
it. He made that promise in the campaign. He kept his promise. And so you can't say that that when you make criteria, diversity the criteria, then you can't say that diversity wasn't the driver behind the pick. And you can argue whether she was a qualified on paper, she was qualified. But you could also argue whether in substance and in capacity she was qualified. And the answer to the question, and that's a question that the people are going to get to answer now. But the fact is, he's right. But there's a way to say it. And, you know, you just, and I don't know, maybe some friends of mine who were, I hesitate to talk for other people, but I do a show with Star Parker every week.
Mm-hmm. Star Parker, good. Star Parker, great. Great person, like her,
right? And mm-hmm. and so we co-wrote a book together, so we're friends. And she wasn't all that happy with those remarks.
She wasn't.
So no, because he
Star's a friendly. It. Star's a friendly.
Yeah. Well, he botched it, and you know when he botched it, you know everybody who knows that calls her up and wants her to defend it. And she's like, I can't. I'm not defending. So he goes off and says something stupid. You know. Say something smart, and I'll push it out. But it's no stars of you know, people. She's a friendly in that she is conservative, and she's in some ways more conservative than I am. But she is. But what happens if you're a black conservative and a white Republican steps in a pile of poo? Everybody comes to you and wants you to be go out and provide cover.
Yeah,
and it's and it just is. I work for J.C. Watts, and the same exact thing, and it's just frustrating. And from that perspective, and you know, I can understand why she was frustrated.
Yeah.
But the fact is, long race, but what you put down on camera is going to get repeated to people ad nauseum. People care about that ad nauseum in the worst possible way. And there's really, in modern campaigning, there's no way to make that go away.
So there's no room for error on the Trump side, because I don't buy the polls. I really don't. I don't buy polls that are still talking about 5% leads for Trump. I really don't. And it's not that I don't want them to be there. I want them to be there. But I think there's a bit of complacency in some corners of that race.
It's a 2-point race. And it's a 2-point race, just in general, mm-hmm. because Trump has a high floor and a low ceiling. It means you only have about 51% of the people who are willing to say they'll vote for Trump. Okay? Maybe 52. That's as high as he can get. There are people who say they won't vote for the Democrat, too, and they'll vote for one of the third parties, Robert Kennedy Jr. or, anybody else, but Trump's about a max in a poll, about 51-52%. It is and when you're at that, when you're maxing at that level, you can't get to 60%, no matter if you can run a perfect campaign, you are only going to be, your spreads can be 4-5%. And it max. Because if the race is tight and somebody sits there and they actively don't like you, even if they don't like the other person, they will vote for the other person. And the dynamic that changed with Kamala versus Joe is people were voting against Joe Biden because they didn't think he was competent and didn't like the way the country was going.
Right.
By throwing Kamala out there, she can pretend that she's a brand new face. People haven't already made a prejudgment about her. So she's going to get the benefit of the doubt in terms of how people are going to judge her.
And the age thing is off the table now.
And,
that's gone.
And the age thing is off mm-hmm. the table, and the Democrats are now trying to use it on him. And it's so you have this, and so a lot of the built-in psychology of the race has changed. And I don't necessarily, I think once Kamala, people remember who she is or find out who she is, they're not going to be all that jumping up and down to vote for her. But one of the primary drivers to vote for Trump was the best of, you know, the best, I don't like either of them, but Trump at least gave us a good economy.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's and notice they haven't been following her around on the campaign trail. And so her nervous cackle has not been featured anywhere for the last 11, 12 days.
Yeah, well, they won't be able to hide it forever, I don't think. All right, final question. Do you think she goes for Shapiro? Shapiro seems to be the obvious safe choice, but that causes other problems because of his support for Israel, which is not real popular within the Democratic Party circles.
The progressives are attacking him pretty hard, but she scheduled her announcement for Philadelphia.
Mm.
I mean, would you have the governor of Minnesota and do the announcement in Philadelphia?
Probably not. So it's probably going to be Josh.
So if she's having it in Philadelphia, it's going to be Shapiro. And once again, the Democrats are in a lot of ways, there's an advantage to caring about nothing but winning. Okay. Being able to throw everything else aside because all you really want is to have power. And that advantage of caring about nothing but winning and just wanting to have power is the people who don't like Josh Shapiro, and Josh Shapiro is very liberal, by the way, people who don't like Josh Shapiro are going to be saying, oh, well, suck it up. You know, we have to be Trump. And that's the only thing that matters. I'm voting against. It doesn't matter that he's Jewish or supports Israel or even claims to support Israel. It is we have to be Trump. And the people who, it just might be locked down a state that's a big electoral college state. I don't know that it does, but it certainly has the possibility of locking down that state, a state which has the voter laws there haven't improved all that dramatically from 2000. I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Although I must say that I was just talking about a good piece of news that a court in Pennsylvania did rule that the vote by mail ballots that happened yesterday are public records. None of this hiding this stuff behind all the, well, you know, we got to keep things private. You know, they said, hey, all the voter ballots can now be examined. So I guess if there's fraud this time around, we'll be able to find out after the fact, I guess, Rick. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a, we did find out after the fact. It's just that nobody cared. There are some positive things in Pennsylvania in terms of the voter laws changing. But the fact of the matter is, and the Supreme Court actually decided that they had to follow their own constitution.
Imagine that.
Mail-in ballots.
Imagine that.
What a strange idea. But Shapiro was the attorney general who defended for the loose election laws. And he then won in 2022 the governorship. And so he is he's a tough guy, and he's won in the state statewide multiple times. And the inroads the Republicans were hoping to make into the Jewish community in Pennsylvania, which is significant, at least its margin of error,
that would be wiped away with him.
Gets wiped away.
Yeah, yeah. All right, hey, how about that? Instead of Josh Shapiro, what if she went? It could be John Fetterman.
Yeah, he's smarter than she is. I think he's disqualified.
Oh, okay.
It could be John Fetterman. I don't think it's going to be. I think there's a dress code in the White House.
Yeah, I'm just having fun with you on that one.
I know.
No one's even mentioned it.
He's a complex guy now. He's changed a lot.
Isn't that something? And, you know, it's almost like the stroke and everything else that happened almost like turned on a thoughtful side of him somehow. I don't know quite how to explain it. But, I even appreciated how when everybody else was talking about, oh, Joe was great, he's just thinking for the country, and then Fetterman just kind of lays it on the line and says, oh, just knock it off. You're knifing him, okay? You know?
And, yeah, I mean, I guess when you stare death in the face and you don't know whether your brain is going to recover and you have it gives you a lot of time inside your brain that you can't express, thinking things through and observing rather than talking. I guess it can kind of make you have a broader perspective than you had going into the injury. So
yeah,
I never
thought I'd be saying that and thinking that way about Fetterman, but he's really surprised me this year now and then. I mean, not that he's an ally, and I'm not looking at him as a friend, but
No, he's a, it's it goes to show that somebody who is, I mean, he couldn't put words together when he was running. Mm-hmm. And the Democrats elected him with their ballot machine. He wouldn't have won otherwise. And now he's paying them back by being thoughtful. I mean, that's a really, they've got to be pretty frustrated with that.
Yeah, because you're supposed to be paid back by just getting in line. But, hey, we'll talk more about that next week. And, Rick, thanks so much. Have a great weekend, and don't get yelled at by whoever's yelling at you in the fast food parking lot.
Yeah, I moved in front of their trash can, so they can't get into the trash can now.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Manning, DailyTorch.com, president of Americans for Limited Government. Lots of analysis, news, cartoons to share there, too. This is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass.
Artisan Bakery.